grass, ganja, joint, doobie, doo, chronic, ace, lobo, loco, loveboat, bud, Buddha, blunt, pot, pat, pin, chiba, chiba, 420, and hashish, or hash for short. It's all marijuana.
This is Marijuana Media.
Come in. Brought to you by The Hemp Store at 253 K Road or shop online at hempstore.co.nz.
Do it, man.
Come in, Chris Fowley from The Hemp Store. Are you there?
Good afternoon. Kia ora, Johnny.
Whereabouts are you at the moment? You're not at work today?
Well, we're high up in the hills, sheltering from the rain.
Yeah. Nice one. Is it raining out west at present?
It is now. Raining very hard, but the sun was just out before, so, fear not. The rain will all be over soon.
Now,
I'm into weather predictions now.
Speaking about the being out in the beautiful Waitakes, where in Auckland has the best view for a session?
Wow, we should open that up to the readers, I think. But certainly, a long scenic drive gets my tick. Mount Eden, of course, a classic.
Mount Eden.
Can't go past that.
We can't drive up there anymore.
West Haven, yep. Always nice at night time, eh?
Yes.
With the colours on the bridge lights and that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but also at home in front of the TV is quite good too.
Okay, yeah, good view, yes.
Yeah. Whatever you like, really. Floats your boat.
5395, your number one session spot. Let us know. Chris Fowley, where are we starting this week with cannabis in the media?
Mate, let's start down the bottom. Dunedin. J-Day was a couple of weeks ago now, almost, but just had some coverage there in Critic, the student magazine. Their reporter, bravely reported from Amidst the Smog and conducted interviews over blasting techno and Bob Marley. they talked to Bert Holmes, a local organizer down there, which is great. And then they ran into some guy called Fraser. I'm going to read this out because it was a great quote. Critic Te Arahi made Fraser, a JDA participant, feel like a cannabis advocate. He became one in front of their very eyes, I think, once they got him talking. And he says, if I had my way, we'd do this every weekend. We'd get the cars out of here, we'd get people back in the octagon. No separation, man, oilless, an SUV, that. And beep, alcohol, and beep, bad alcohol. This should be our space every Saturday, all night. There you go. Just thought I'd read that out. But, they actually put in the beeps in the written. So, yeah.
He also described cannabis laws as a human rights issue. It's very social justice, this whole that whole line. You know, I think that is really, you know, the strong takeaway from this, because it's often minorities that are copping most of the flack for this.
Exactly. That is exactly right. I'm still, to this day, despite their the best efforts and recent changes and things, Māori are three times as likely to be arrested for cannabis, and I think it works out about six times as likely to end up with a conviction. Interesting down there, they shared the octagon with the anti-war in Ukraine protest and anti-oppression of Palestine protest was all in there together in the octagon. I thought that was quite cool. They're all calling for peace and against war, and you know, in their own way. Nice link here, because also calling for an end to war and these kind of paramilitary operations. Northland, New Zealand Herald, and the Northland Advocate, I think, reported Northland aerial cannabis operation finds more than 11,000 plants amid ongoing criticism. And it is behind a paywall, unfortunately, but the interesting thing is that the police were trumpeting out, as they do, of course, we found all these plants. It turns out that of the 34,000 plants that the police seized this past summer, or didn't seize, they sprayed and walk away is usually what they do. Mm. About a third of them was in Northland. Waikato had a little bit more. That was actually the number one spot. There were six regions in total. We discussed this last week that did it, and the rest did none at all. Auckland was one of the ones that did none, and the Waitemata district, which covers just north of Auckland, also none as well. So good on the local police for, you know, opting out of that. But one of the interesting things there is because they do just spray with this poison and then fly on to the next one, they actually don't know where the plants are destined. Are they recreational? Are they medicinal? The Ministry of Health says 42% of cannabis consumers are using it medicinally. So presumably that proportion of the supply, you know, at the very least, would be medical too. The police don't know which crops they're destroying. And they also don't know whether they still go, you know, sold anyway by unscrupulous growers or people who don't realise they've been sprayed. You know, they actually don't know. They have no idea. So it's yet again one of these things where... In the guise of supposedly protecting us from ourselves, you know, they actually go around causing more harm.
Becomes an health,
but we all know that, of course.
It becomes, you know, it complicates it even further and becomes more of a health issue of people consuming.
Yeah, and then meanwhile, boy oh boy, this came out just yesterday. Stuff: a million cannabis plants, the target for southern operations. So while up north, the police are flying around, you know, spraying all this poison and going around busting people, saying that they don't target the small people and all that kind of thing. But if you can get a permit, and there's an operation down south set up in that old Matawari timber mill, that one that was all full of the aluminium dross a little while ago, it was a bit controversial. And well, now there's some people down there growing cannabis, or at least being a nursery and providing cuttings to local farmers. And they've already done some trials over this past summer, according to here. 800 kilos a hectare of hemp flower, which they say is worth 150 a kilo. This is CBD crops, these hemp crops. So I thought that was interesting. They're aiming for a million plants this in the next next summer.
Do you know what the uptake is like with local farmers? Is this just another crop to carry for producers?
Well, it's funny you should say that, because there was a farmer in there called Grant Scott, farming for 25 years, and he saw an ad in a farming magazine about the trial, and he thought, well, I'm going to get involved in this, and he said that there was a summer drought, 60k an hour winds, a third of the 1,200 seedlings survived. So I thought that was interesting. Only a third survived, but it was in a drought. But they were happy with that. They thought that was enough. And what they were, it sounds like they were using it was for riparian planting to you know, mop up nitrates and things. And he's saying, well, even if you basically get nothing for it, then it's good enough for that.
Totally. Do you know much about the scale of the riparian planting, or sort of, you know, like how big these strips of hemp are that they're planting along rivers and creeks?
I think that's the kind of thing you'd get a, you know, your farm consultants and things in to look at your contour of your land and your flows and what your inputs and outputs are and all that kind of thing. But I think that's the kind of thing they calculate on site. You know, you don't just want to chuck it down and hope for the best, but you know, do it properly.
That's kind of cool, though. That's cool. I mean, my one question about that is, hemp is seasonal, so you just put down one crop and. And then sort of half the year there's nothing there protecting the creek.
Yeah, and in the winter when it's raining hard, that is one of the shortcomings for it. And also, can you use that? You know, you don't necessarily know what it's taken up, and, you know, can that product actually be used for something medical, you know, further down, or does it just become mulch for the cows?
Wouldn't it become, can they use the hemp for, like, fiber and that sort of thing, like clothing and textiles?
You could if you're doing it with a hemp license. I believe these guys are doing it under a medical cannabis license, so you wouldn't be able to there. You could grow exactly the same plants under a hemp one or a medical, depending on what your end use is going to be.
I've got more questions about this, Chris, just about riparian planting. Is there any way that you can have a cannabis plant that will go all year round on a riparian strip?
No, not in our, it's our daylight hours. Technically, yes, it could be bred. You could, there are some genetics from sort of the Arctic Circle and stuff that when you take them away from their, you know, their massively long photo period and put them in other places, you can do some stuff with that kind of genetics to try and inhibit that, but basically it's an annual, and as the daylight gets shorter over winter, you know, it wants to flower and it wants to die at the end of that, you know, so that's kind of what you're fighting against there.
All right. On to the next story, Chris Fowley.
Okay, right. What was the next one?
A medical marijuana medical marijuana firm struggling for bank accounts and insurance.
Oh, there you go. This is another paywalled one, unfortunately, in the bloody newsroom. But I thought it was interesting because I've been through it myself with Zecan, but one of the here's a little tip for anyone wanting to enter the industry. go with a locally owned bank, you know, and maybe do that anyway. But Kiwi Bank will bank with the medical cannabis industry as long as you're legit and aren't a doofus, you know. I mean, if you're a regular business type thing and you haven't got a bad record. But Kiwi Bank will bank with the medical cannabis industry. No one else will. So that's the little secret behind what some of the newer entrants to the industry are kind of working out for themselves. This story was about Skyman Industries, who based out in Te Atatū, and they're finding that they can't get a bank account or insurance and things like that. And yeah, so there's a little pro tip is go local, because these foreign-owned banks just don't want to touch it. If they have any kind of ownership that flows to America in particular, they just don't want to touch it. Now, the irony there, though, rather than a change to our New Zealand law, it's actually going to be changed to American law that's going to fix that. And there's a bill going through Congress and Senate right now called the SAFE Act that is going to do exactly that. It's going to sort out the federal banking system so that all the legal cannabis companies can actually do their banking and things and pay proper taxes and all that kind of stuff. So, so yeah, they reckon that'll pass this year anyway. So that should sort a few things out for local business too.
What happens if it's a bank that's operating in New Zealand, but it goes back to a US bank with a headquarters in a state where it's legal? Does that still affect...
Yeah, because it's a federal thing, right? So it's still illegal at a federal level, and so that's just how it is. So okay. Once this federal law goes through, it's going to sort all that out, I think.
All right.
I mean, they get things like, in America, they get taxed on their entire revenue, and they can't deduct any operating expenses. So you imagine if you sell like $100 of cannabis to someone and you actually have to give a third of it to the government straight away before you've even paid the cannabis or the anything. You're not just paying tax on your profit, but you're actually, they tax your all your income as if, you know, 100% of it is profit.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of weird. And then they won't take it electronically, so people actually have to hire these armored vehicles stuffed full of cash and drive them down to the tax department. Yeah, it's incredible. So anyway... Yeah, that's kind of the flow-on effect that we have over here in New Zealand as a result of their laws over there.
Now,
on the good news front, yep. I do like to bring some good news, and that's today, three new medical cannabis products approved by the Ministry of Health. Two of them oils. This is CannaSouth, who people have probably heard of. They're on the old stock exchange and stuff. They have, I believe it's imported oil, but it's in different cannabinoid ratios than the other ones that are available now. So that kind of, you know, adds to people's the options that are there. And the other is a bud called Shishkaberry. It's described as medium THC Shishkaberry, and that's in 35-gram bags, so a good hefty bag. They're saying it's a month's supply, so that should be in pharmacies pretty soon, I think.
Excellent. And anything else? I mean, is it the hemp news?
Good old hemp store news, and that is that. Bloody hell! It's our 25th birthday. Can you believe it? This coming week marks 25 years since we started back in 1997. Whew, boy! It's incredible. I find it incredible, to be honest. But I just wanted to thank particularly all our staff that have had us going all over the years and still to this day. But our customers, you know, the reason we've managed to stay open to this day is because of the support of our customers. So, you know, thanks to everyone. We've got a bit of a sale going on. If you want to jump on our website and chuck in the special code, secret little code, it gets you 25% off. So EST 1997.
EST as in established 1997.
That's the one.
Just EST.
And just to remind you, it's right there on the front page of the website. When you go there, you're going to just see it right there. In fact, on every page of the website. So there you go.
Most
you don't even have to remember it. It's right there.
We've had a text through saying, Chris Valley, I'm not a huge smoker, but man, J Day is one of the coolest events I go to every year. Not to mention, it's also the holy grail of people watching.
Right on. Hey, that is a great review. That should go on Google. I got to agree. The people watching is fantastic. Yeah. I love it. And it is. It's a great cultural day. And whether you're a big smoker or not, it's a part of, the Auckland institution. You know, now we've been going 30 years. To have it there in Albert Park, it's
pretty special.
It's part of Auckland's annual calendar, so that's great. And I kind of feel a little bit that way. I don't want to blow my own trumpet too much, but with the old hemp store, I was thinking back on these 25 years, and you know, at the beginning there, we the only time we've ever been raided was shortly after we opened. Well, not shortly after, it was a few years after 2002. Customs raided us when I imported 30 kilos of hemp bud, and it was completely legal, but but they seized it anyway and had us under surveillance and then raided us. The only time it's ever happened. And we also went to court fighting to keep High Times legal and Normal News legal and things like that, and that was kind of what it was like in the beginning.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But, you know, in more recent years, it's like, you know, Top Shop Awards and Westpac Business Awards and things. I kind of feel like we're part of the establishment almost.
Nice one. All right, hey, Chris, a huge happy birthday to the Hemp Store, 25 years. Check out thehempstore.co.nz. That code is up on there on the front page. You get a sweet as a discount, and or just pop in and say hi.
Right on. Cheers,
right, mate. We'll catch you next week, brother.
Cheers, mate. See ya.
Do it, man.
That was Marijuana Media.
Thanks to the Hemp Store. Visit them at 253 K Road or shop online at hempstore.co.nz.